Hello, welcome to Spotlight, focusing on the art of the island.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
This evening, we chat to recently retired Arts Development Manager at the Arts Council, Jane Corkle, as she looks at an artistic life in retirement. Catch up with Manx bard Jordan Kenyuk, as she's heading towards the end of her time in the position. And Ina Kenyuk is heading our way again. We get a quick preview. Remember, do get in touch with any creative, artistic endeavours you might be involved in, planning, hoping to create, or would really like to put in the spotlight. Yes, that's this programme. Poetic, theatrical, musical, literary, ceramic, sculpture, drag, film, mime, social media, digital, calligraphy, lots of others. Let me know what they are if they're not on that list. Drop me a line, spotlight@manxradio.com or Howard Kane, C-A-I-N-E, @manxradio.com. Honestly, we do love to feature new people all the time. We've had a few. We want more. Get in touch. We often talk about our friends at the Arts Council here on Spotlight. They do, after all, sponsor this programme to highlight some of the amazing artists and creative souls who live here on the Isle of Man. And if you hadn't been featured, by the way, get in touch, of course. That address again, spotlight@manxradio.com. But a friend of the show, who we won't be seeing as much of at the Arts Council, at least, is the former Commander-in-Chief there, or to use the proper title, Arts Development Manager, Jane Corkle, who recently retired from the high-profile position. Clearly, we couldn't let her disappear into the artistic ether without having at least a bit of a chat about her time in the position. So I invited her up to the Spotlight studio and started with the obvious question. Was she missing the job yet?
I'm missing the job, yes, and I will always miss the job because it was a wonderful job and I worked with great people. So yes, I'll always miss it and I'll always miss them. But life moves on, so here I am.
So what would you say, again, reference the Arts Council? Because again, I often think people hear of the Arts Council and may know of its existence. But what would you say if someone said to you, well, you know, what did the Arts Council do? How would you answer that?
So the Arts Council, I think, play a part... sometimes a little bit of an unseen part in the cultural and artistic life of the Isle of Man. Primarily, they are a funding body, and they're funded by the lottery tax that comes into the island, and that money is used to support creative projects in the island. And it's the 60th anniversary of the Arts Council this year, and we were looking back over minutes and the history of the council. And I think it's fair to say that the Arts Council have had input certainly into every venue in the island. Obviously the Villa Gaiety, Air and Arts, Peel St. Enery, everywhere like that. And also a lot of the major arts projects that have gone on in the island over the last 60 years. And that goes from choirs to bands recording albums to support for students, books, poetry, you name it, public art, sculpture. The Arts Council have had a finger in most of that pie, I think.
And how do you think it's been perceived or is perceived by the public?
I think there was always a little bit of an opinion that maybe it was for sort of highbrow art, that if you weren't singing opera or, ballet dancing, I think people do feel that's the more sort of higher echelons of artistic endeavour. Mm. Then maybe it wasn't for you, that you couldn't come and ask the Arts Council for support. And I think in the last few years, we've worked really hard at breaking down that barrier, and we've funded all sorts of projects, some quite big projects, some quite small, quite personal projects for individuals. But it's important to realise that art isn't just about standing on a stage, to a packed house. Sometimes art is personal. And we saw that a lot, particularly in COVID. Obviously, we weren't in the office. Everybody was working from home. And we were asked by government to come up with some projects that people could do. And one of the projects was called Home is Where the Art Is. And we asked people to send us a video of you doing some art in lockdown. And we were deluged with people, people learning to play the xylophone and people, creating, you know, artwork and poetry, all sorts of things. And what came out of it was people saying, I'd really like to do more of this, but I never have time. And then in lockdown, everybody did have time. And I think it almost trampolined some people into moving on with their artistic practices. So I think the message really is that, you know, art is for everyone.
And I think as well, you'd be more than aware, I'm sure, over the years you were there, that you can't do everything, you can't help everyone, you can't fund everything. There's only a finite pot of money, no matter how you do it. So I think, again, there's always people who think, oh, yeah, it's very supportive, and then there are people who love to hate bodies such as the Arts Council.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's true. I think, and sometimes the negative voices shout louder than the positive voices. But the members of the Arts Council themselves are all volunteers, and they are drawn from the various arts around the island. They put themselves forward, they give of their time and their expertise and knowledge freely. They are all fantastic people. They're very keen and they're really supportive of every project that comes through the door. Often in these kind of situations, you do have to formally apply. There isn't an application process. And in my general experience, I would say that where people haven't been successful with their funding, it's been a little bit because their application maybe hasn't been as developed as others. There is an element of competition about it. There has to be. It's not a bottomless pit. But the council always start from the point of, we will fund this. And then once they get looking at it a bit more closely, they may decide that in its current format, that particular project maybe hasn't been thought through completely, or they may have further questions. But they're always happy for people to revisit their application, develop it a bit more, maybe provide more information, talk to other people, maybe join with other people to develop further. And then they, you know, will get funding. And yeah, there's always naysayers. There always are.
Do you think it changed much, or did you oversee, you feel, any major changes during your tenure?
I think everything moves on. You know, when I first came in, the Arts Council was still receiving paper applications. And I remember one particular day that we'd had so much paper in. We were working in the Villa Arcade office, and the Arts Council were meeting in the Noble Suite in the Villa. And there was so much to carry that my colleague Martin and I had to drive our cars from one side of the Villa Gardens to the other side of the Villa Gardens because there was so much paper. So it's a small thing, but it's a big thing, isn't it, that it's all now online. And we worked very hard with that. And in fact, I know that the team are launching a newly developed portal just probably this week. So, you know, for people to keep an eye out on that. So that was a big change. I think certainly just last year in sort of 24, 25, we had more applications than ever. We had over 200 applications to the Arts Council, which is a lot of applications. And so the applications are popular. I think we've worked hard to make the council more visible and more approachable. We would always say to people, if you can't come to see us, we'll come to see you. So I think that's what I'd like to take away, is that we've, you know, helped it up its game, its visibility, really, that people know a bit more about it. And sometimes when I look around and I'm driving my car around, I'm sometimes surprised, you know, the logo pops up everywhere.
Any high spots for you?
Oh, loads. Loads and loads and loads. I mean, I guess I have to talk about the Arts Council lecture, which we brought in. I mean, how could I not say that, you know, meeting Dame Joanna Lumley and Louis Theroux and Kevin MacLeod, they have to be high spots, don't they? The Halle Orchestra coming over was a massive high spot.
Yeah, that's very good.
I mean, there's been so many high spots. Even just the week before I finished, the Untold Orchestra were over and they were just magnificent. At the concert in Peel Cathedral, I mean, what a venue, when they were playing the Bee Gees. I mean, it was just It was something really special. So there's loads of those sort of big highlights. But I think there's lots of smaller highlights. You know, people that come in to talk to us as a team and sort of they've maybe written something and they just have a burning desire to see it in print, or they've written music and in their band and they want a bit of funding to try and get it recorded. And those people that come in and say, I'm just not sure that this is what, you know, what your funding would be for. And, you know, they go through the process, mm-hmm. and they come out the other side and they've got some funding and they go and do that. And they come back and say to us, you know, I just never thought I'd see that book with my name on it, on the shelf in Waterston. So those are the big things. They're the small things, but the big things, you know.
And do you think, obviously, you've left the role now and I was going to say retirement. I know you're still busy doing lots of other things, but still valid going forward in your eyes then? There have been those changes, and you say, particularly moving online, being more digital when it comes to applications and such like, but still a valid and important part to play in Manx culture going forward?
Oh, without a doubt, probably more than ever. I think, you know, we all know that... Well, we all know that we're going through a cost of living crisis, all of that stuff. And having that funding available, I think, it's the lifeblood of what we're doing. And for people to feel supported enough to come and say, I've got this idea, what do you think? And then from that tiny little seed of an idea, that going forward and actually becoming something, a thing. And sometimes it's almost the process, the artistic process, that journey, which is as valuable as the end result. And, you know, the Isle of Man is an incredibly cultural and artistic place. There are so, so many talented people here, and a lot of whom give of their time and talent entirely freely to just... you know, to just enjoy and help others enjoy and learn and create. And that, I think that makes us who we are as an island. I think it's part of who we are.
You've stood down from what is a high profile role on the island within the arts now, but I'm assuming that doesn't mean that you're just going to sit in a deck chair and drink pina coladas all day. You've got other artistic endeavours and things you want to do.
Well, I think there might be a small amount of deck chairs and pina coladas going on. But yeah, I've made the decision to, you know, my family are now grown up, and so I don't personally need to sort of be working 40 odd hours a week. But yeah, I'll still be very involved, you know, and I'm, you know, I taught music before I went into this role.
Wonderful, yeah.
So I'm picking up my private music practice now, and you know, there's to teach singing and piano. And yeah, I mean, I've sang and performed all my life. It won't stop now. It'll just be different. And like I say, there's so much going on the Isle of Man. I'm never not going to be bored, am I?
Great. Well, lovely to catch up. Enjoy whatever you're doing.
And, thank you.
Hopefully we'll speak maybe again on the Spotlight with your singing hat on.
Oh, hopefully so.
We wish Jane a very happy retirement. And we hope she doesn't overdo the pina coladas in the deck chair. And definitely hope we'll speak to her again at some stage in the future with an artistic endeavour of her own.
Spotlight. Brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
So as we heard last week on Spotlight, the search is already on for the next Manx Bard. As I said, it doesn't really seem that long since we were welcoming Jordan Kenyuk into the role. But now she's already into her last, couple of months? Though she will, of course, remain a bard and join her illustrious predecessors after stepping down from the position and being replaced. And if you're wondering what the collective noun is for a group of bards, stay tuned. Well, I dragged Jordan away from her hectic schedule of writing, reading, performing poetry, and a full-time job, of course, and suggested to her that the time seems to have flown.
I know, time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
It's gone incredibly fast this last year.
And it has been. You're saying having fun. So, I mean, certainly when we've met up, you always look like you've been revelling in it.
I have been. It's been an incredible privilege to have my tenure this year. And I didn't sort of really know what it was going to entail, but there's been so many different opportunities to meet new people, write about new subjects, be involved in different projects. So it's been absolutely amazing.
Anything you've been particularly pleased with? You've been doing, again, it's sort of being the bard, I suppose, is about getting out there and perhaps bringing poetry to the nation, and maybe particularly to people who might not otherwise think about reading or listening to poetry.
I would say probably my favourite project has been the Bard on the Board project, which was probably the first project I undertook, and that was just a solo project, and that has been really rewarding. I love seeing messages from people who said, oh, I've read your poem this week on the board, like, it's really nice, I thought this about it, or it's, you know, it's inspired me to write my own. So that's been really nice, but also really enjoyed doing the open mic under the moon in Peel Cathedral. That was a really fantastic evening as well.
Yeah, that looked lovely. I saw bits of video of that. It looks really great, and a great place to actually be performing as well.
It was very grandiose. It was a fantastic occasion. And like I say, it was great to collaborate with the Arts Council and the Poetry Society and Manxlitfest as well. It was a great opportunity to work with some fantastic people as well.
And that's the thing, I suppose, you do get the range, don't you, from somewhere like Peel Cathedral, which you say is quite grandiose and amazing sort of place to be actually performing poetry, right the way through to a lot of the time maybe in small sort of arenas, or maybe somewhere like the Black Dog, or, you know, down the pub, or whatever the case may be.
It is fantastic, and there's so many events on at the moment. More and more people are getting involved in the sort of poetry community on the island, which is amazing to see. I was at an open mic just this weekend, organised by the lovely Saoirse, who I directed your way, actually.
Yes, absolutely. We had a lovely chat.
Came for
week.
A lovely chat.
Yeah.
So she is making fantastic strides and doing more regular open mic slots in different venues around the island.
Yeah, the ex-poetry.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Fantastic to see. There's also one in July on the 18th, shameless plug.
Right too.
And that's at Mad Jack. So if anyone wants to pop down to that and see what it's all about, then I would very much encourage you to do so. It's a fantastic atmosphere and full of lovely, encouraging people as well.
So that's the ex-poetry open mic session, Mad Jack's, 18th of June. All welcome.
Yes, 18th of July.
July,
sorry,
I beg your pardon. July.
July.
We better get the month right. 18th of July. Don't go on the 18th of June. We'll be going on, and someone might throw an axe at you. How about your own poetry? How do you think being the bard? And let's not forget, you're not done yet. You've still got a few more months to go. But how do you think it's affected your own poetry over the tenure so far?
I definitely think my poetry has developed in a good way. I think it really forces you in the best way to flex your creative muscles, maybe more so than you probably would do normally. As obviously you're tasked with writing pieces for certain events, and, you know, maybe being commissioned to write a commemorative piece for certain things, you know, like charitable events and things like that. So you're exposed to subjects and maybe topics that you're not so familiar with or comfortable with, and that can be a great challenge to write a piece with feeling about something that you're not totally familiar with. It's a really good way of challenging yourself and sort of pushing yourself outside your comfort zone. That's one thing I've really enjoyed about my tenure this year. That's been great.
And do you think you've written more poetry than you might had you not been the bard?
I think so. I think being the bard is a massive privilege, but obviously I feel like it comes with quite a lot of responsibility as well, because obviously I have the column in the paper every month, and you want to write, you know, things that are topical, relevant, you know, funny. You sort of want to appeal to, you know, the masses rather than just a small group of people. So that's quite a challenge for me, thinking of something every month that people are going to enjoy reading, that, you know, people might relate to. And I've really enjoyed that part about my bardic year, is writing the newspaper column. I think that's really fun. I'll miss doing that. But yeah, I do think that I have written more this year, and partly because I have been asked to write pieces as well, which I normally wouldn't do. But that's been super fun. I've been really grateful to be included in so many projects this year. It's been fantastic.
And do you think it's sort of lightened your poetry? Because I know you said early doors when we started talking about it, you said, oh, you're quite often sort of your poetry's on the darker side.
I wouldn't say it's lightened it up enormously, but I definitely I wouldn't say I'm commissioned to write many dark pieces. So yeah, I have been writing a lot more upbeat poetry as of late, which has been a nice change as well. So yeah, it is lovely to, like I say, maybe take a bit of a different direction in your creative process and what you normally would, and that's been great. It's been lovely to explore different avenues of and styles of writing that maybe I wouldn't have if I hadn't have been chosen as the bard. Mm.
And of course, once a bard, always a bard. So have you had a chance, or have you found that you have been mixing and working with the previous bards?
Yeah, so obviously we're a lovely group of 10 now, soon to be 11.
Yeah.
And I would say that we all have different styles and we all bring something different to the table, which is great, because if you're looking to collaborate for a piece with one of the other bards, or you're even looking for feedback on your own work, or you just want someone to cast an eye over something you've written, it's fantastic to put it out into the bard ether and just let people pick apart and give you, you know, a bit of constructive criticism. That's lovely. The lovely Stacey Astor helped me run the workshops at the open mic Peel Cathedral evening, just before that, and she was fantastic. That was lovely to work with Stace. But it's lovely that you've got a supportive bardic community around you, and I'm sure number 11 will feel the same way.
Absolutely. And you're right, I think that's been the amazing thing. And we were chatting to Annie and Michael, both former bards, last week about the whole process of finding the next bard. And they were saying exactly that it's been wonderful as the numbers have grown, as you say, heading towards number 11. There's been this vast range of styles over the time, you know, from the very first write up to you. And it's, I think that's something that the Bardic Committee are keen to do. Sort of, it's not all got to be in one sort of style, or all got to be straight, or all got to be funny or whatever, or all free verse or all rhyming. It's a whole, runs the whole gamut, I suppose.
It definitely is a plethora of different, you know, different ages, different backgrounds, different styles, different beliefs. So we are a really varied group. I think we were joking about what we could call ourselves, a collective. I think we've decided on an anthology of bards.
That's good call.
Is our collective name.
An anthology of bards.
Yeah. So the anthology of bards currently is incredibly varied. And like I say, we all bring something different, something unique to the table.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't wait to see what my successor, number 11, will bring to the table. And I look forward to working with them in the future too.
Absolutely. And will you stay associated then with the other bards, you reckon, and when your bardic year is done as a past bard, you'll be there in the bardic community?
Like you said, once you bard, you bard. There's no getting out of it. It's like a cult.
Bard for life. Won't be the first time I imagine.
Sadly, no.
And so, as I said, you're not actually finished. Another couple of months yet. Anything coming up? Any other events? Are you sort of ticking over? Are you winding down or going out with a bang, as it were? Or how are you looking towards the last sort of couple of months of your or month and a half, is it, of your tenure?
I'm hoping to get another couple of things ticked off my list. I've been asked to do a project, or to collaborate on a project, for the IIEM, which is the Inter-Island Environmental Meeting.
Yep.
So that'll be really, really fun. That's going to be a piece to celebrate 25 years of the IIEM. That sounded like old MacDonald EIEIO.
It did, didn't it? I was liking that.
The 25 years of the IIEM, I've been asked to write a piece for that, so I'm working on that currently. And that'll be a fantastic evening. Glad to be involved in that. Anything to do with the island, its wildlife, its environment, I love to write about. So that'll be a lovely evening to be part of that. But yeah, I have a couple of little things I'd like to get done before my tenure is up and I pass on to number 11, whoever that may be.
And we will have a typically pithy and witty poem from Jordan next week. A couple of rude words as well, so I'm looking forward to that. It'll soon be July, of course, and that means we're into festival season on the island. Timwell, Mananan, Inclunyuk, to name but three. And the last of these will be with us before we know it. We'll talk to some of the organisers a little closer to the time, but Chloe Woolley and Joe Collister gave Manx Radio folk show presenter John Barker a little preview of what's coming up in Inclunyuk this year.
Well, this year's festival runs from the 21st to the 27th of July, and we're mainly based in Peel, but we've also got some events happening in Douglas and in St John's. And we've got lots of visiting acts and plenty of Manx local talent as well.
Okay, so it starts on the Monday night.
Monday night, yes. Well, we've actually got a lunchtime session at Noah Bakehouse to get us started off.
Brilliant.
And some other bits and pieces happening. We've got a baking workshop at Juliet's in Peel.
Oh, right.
But the main event of that evening is with Scottish boy band Rura, with support from Trina Kier, which is Kirsty Lawrence and Russell Cowan's band. And that's on at the Centenary Centre at 7:30.
That's marvellous.
And we're really lucky, actually, that the Rura gig is supported by the Domestic Event Fund. It's so hard to put the, you know, to find sponsorship every year for the festival. We've got loads of great sponsors that I'm sure we'll mention later on. But it's mm-hmm. lovely that the Domestic Event Fund have helped us out for Rura. Yeah, it's much appreciated.
Every day at lunchtime, we've got the Noah Bakehouse sessions. So a different country represented every lunchtime from 1 o'clock. And they're all free to go along to. But one of our favourite evenings is the Tuesday, which is our E Aranach, which is the song night.
Yeah, we started that up a few years ago, and it's one of those nights we put it on to really sort of showcase singing, and we weren't sure which way it would go. And it's one of the first things that gets booked out. We've talked a lot, haven't we, about how there's lots of music sessions that go on around the island, but actually singing sessions, you know, everyone loves a good sing song.
Absolutely.
So we think we've sort of nailed that one. It's a nice informal session. So people, choirs, groups, singers come along. They maybe do a couple of like a performance, and then we have a little song sheet. Well, we might go digital this year. We might get QR codes.
Okay.
So brace yourselves. but yeah, that Tuesday night is a lovely night at the Masonic.
That's at the Masonic Hall.
Yeah.
And is that a ticketed event as well?
It is. Yeah. £7 for that evening, or half price for under 16.
Okay. And is that people from throughout the artists that you're bringing over, as well as local singers?
Yes. We'll have the Annie Bayless band there that evening. And Annie and colleagues are from Cornwall.
Right.
So they'll be doing a little bit of entertainment. But we'll have local acts as well. We've got, we're going to have some young singers, Crystal and Luena, going to be singing some Manx songs.
Fantastic.
And we've got Mary Malloy and Susan, who will do some Irish songs with us. And then festival favourites, Lockdown Lovelies, will be there too.
Wednesday night, we have got a Cayley, our first Cayley of the week, down at the Masonic Hall.
Mm-hmm.
We like to have a bit of a fancy dress event. So this is our fancy dress Cayley. So feel free to come dressed as your favourite myth or legend from anywhere throughout the Celtic world.
There's
into
a challenge.
Celtic world. yeah, but that should be really nice. That starts at 7:30. Again, ticketed. It's on the website. We've got the Brim playing for that. The McGoldrick family are over. By that time, one of our Irish acts. We've got Manx Cayley band playing. So again, it's nice and informal. I think Perry Bairn might
Perry
be doing
Bairn
a slot there as
okay.
well.
Yeah. Oh, a good lively night then, I'm sure.
And of course, there's other fringe events going on as well at the same time. So you don't have to come to the Cayley. Black Dog will have some music on. And there's also going to be a Conference of the Gaels. So if you're a fluent Manx speaker, you can go along to that at the Centenary Centre. And that's hosted by Radio Falch, who are Belfast Irish language station.
Okay,
They're over throughout the whole week, actually, which is really great. So they're doing lots of bits and pieces. They're doing our Ian O'Leary lecture at 5 o'clock on the Thursday. So it's nice to have support from an organisation like that. Chloe mentioned the Black Dog gigs as well. They're on at 5 and 6 from Wednesday through. And they were so popular last year. They fall at that nice time. So you've been there for the afternoon at the House of Manannan sessions and workshops. And then you can nip in there, listen to some music, have your tea.
Absolutely.
Get hydrated and then get to the evening events.
Yeah, it works really well. I'm being tempted over to Peel.
As I say, more from Joe and Chloe closer to the time. A reminder that festival in Clonard gets underway on the 21st of July. Book your tickets now to avoid disappointment. That's about it. I'll be back next week when we'll be chatting to the ever-inventive Jackie Murray Grace about a film version of her epic performance poem on Ravensdale Hill. See you then. Be good, whatever you're doing. Be creative about it. Hingemo.